Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jammin' James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews, the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Hey, come up on the show today, we chat with guitarist Eddie Angel.
Put a 45 out on Rampage, and the flip side was Link's Tale, which was a tribute to Link Wray. And because I took to playing Link Wray like a duck to water, you know.
Lots more with Eddie and tunes he's played on. Let's start things off with a solo track from the Johnny Cash tribute album titled Dressed in Black. It's Eddie Angel covering Straight A's and Love.
Hi, this is Eddie Angel of Los Straitjackets and the Planet Rockers, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Well, reading and writing and arithmetic never did get through to me. It ain't because I'm square or thick, cause I learned my ABCs. But when I graduated from grammar school and I moved one grade above, I began to be a snook at book, but I made straight A's in love. Now the teacher would say to learn your algebra, but I'd bring home C's and D's. How could I make an A when there's a swinging maid on the left and on the right, and in the back in the front of me? Oh, my grades are low on my card, I know, but they ought to give me one above. If they give me a mark for learning in the dark, I'd have straight A's in love. Now in my senior year with graduation year, I did my homework every night. And when my mama said I ought to go to bed, I turned out all the lights. But my sweetie pie was written right outside, she'd be a cooing like a dove. Though I did my best, I flunked all my tests, but I made straight A's in love. Now the teacher would say to learn your algebra, but I'd bring home C's and D's. How could I make an A when there's a swinging maid on the left and on the right, and in the back in the front of me? Oh, my grades are low on my card, I know, but they ought to give me one above. If they give me a mark for learning in the dark, I'd have straight A's in love.
Hey, Jam and James Riley on location out visiting Eddie Angel here at your house. Thanks for having me out here, Eddie.
Well, thank you for asking me, James.
I sort of expected you to answer the door with a mask on, so I'm glad I'm glad you did.
Put it on if you want. I can put it on.
Well, that's one of the cool things. We all have a background. We all have influences, and it's always fun to find out from folks. Now, you grew up in Albany, New York.
Yes.
Who probably was your biggest influence as far as that got you into music, and what were some of those music interests that you had?
Well, I had three older sisters, and they were always playing rock and roll records around the house. So I kind of grew up hearing that, you know, Elvis, Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis. So I think my brain was wired at an early age to play in that style. But then when the Beatles came out, that put me over the edge. I mean, I always wanted to play music, even before the Beatles. I mean, I remember trying to play the clarinet and banjo and everything, but the Beatles came out, I was probably 10, and the clarinet went under the bed and I had a guitar.
You know, it's interesting. In some circles, the Beatles are almost a negative. You know, maybe in the hardcore rockabilly world, sometimes they don't want to talk about the Beatles. But in my mind, and I think for a lot of folks in America, the Beatles opened up our eyes to a lot of great music that maybe we'd forgotten about.
Yeah, absolutely. My answer to that is, I mean, the Beatles were doing Johnny Burnett songs when he wasn't doing it. I mean, he had stopped doing rockabilly, and then they were doing it. But the Beatles they could do rockabilly, or they could do girl groups, and they could do R&B. So they were sort of the whole package. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of patience with people who write off the Beatles because they weren't rockabilly or something. They were a great rock and roll band, but they were other things too. I mean, I understand, you know, that when they were doing Yellow Submarine and stuff like that, I mean, it was pretty un-rock and roll. But in the beginning, I mean, that's my favorite part of the Beatles, really, is the early stuff. I'm more interested in, you know, Beatles at the Star Club than I am Sgt. Pepper, you know. In fact, I tell people, and they think I'm kidding, but my interest starts to wane after the Ed Sullivan Show appearances. I'm more into the real early Beatles.
Me too. There's such a raw energy there that's pretty amazing. Of course, you had an album, Eddie Angel Meets the Beatles. It wasn't Beatles covers, but it was songs that they were doing pretty early on.
Right, and the idea was to pick out these songs that were in their repertoire, but they never recorded. And because, to me, they had such impeccable taste for songs to do. You know, they're doing Arthur Alexander songs, you know, and girl group songs. They would just had a knack for picking out the best songs instead of doing the obvious ones, you know, instead of doing big hits like Blue Moon or something. I mean, they were a cover band, basically, and they were picking out these great obscure covers, R&B songs. That was the idea. And I learned a lot doing that record because I realized when they were in Hamburg and stuff, it was the height of the Twist era, you know? And they kind of like blew the Twist right out of the water and never came back. I know it's maybe stating the obvious, but I don't know. But they were doing like Twist and Shout, which we never thought of as a Twist song, but it was, you know?
Album Eddie Angel Meets the Beatles. That's his cover of Tommy Rose Sheila.
Tell me about how you got connected in the rockabilly circuit early on.
Well, like I said, I always had a real affinity for it. You know, and when I picked up a guitar, even when I was playing Beatles songs, the thing that I was, from a guitar point of view, was George Harrison's playing of Carl Perkins. You know, that his solos were very country influenced. You know, like I Don't Want to Spoil the Party or I'll Cry Instead or All My Loving. Right in the middle of a pop song, he would do this great country sounding, you know, rockabilly solo. And so that was always an appeal to me. So when I picked up guitar, that's what I was drawn to. I was never drawn to Jimi Hendrix or Jimmy Page or any of those guys, and I could never play like that. So my brain was wired differently. But so, you know, when I started doing band, after I was out of school and I was getting in bands, I always was being drawn to rockabilly naturally. But I think the real kind of watershed moment for me was getting in a band with a guy named Tex Urbanowitz in Washington, D.C. That was really the beginning of my playing, you know, rockabilly and taking it from there.
Well, I'm a rolling daddy with a mean machine. It's got a V8 motor and it sure is clean. I'm a hot rod man. Yeah, I'm a hot rod man. Well, look out, little mama, gonna get you if I can. I got a cowboy caddy with a custom seat. It's leatherette, they're all rolled in pleat. Come on, little mama, sit by my side. You and your daddy gonna go for a ride. I'm a hot rod man.
He's a hot rod man.
I'm a hot rod man.
He's a hot rod man.
Look out, little mama, gonna get you if I can. Oh, Bobby, wind it up. Go!
driving on the edge of town. We're gonna look real cool as we tool around. All the fellas gonna scream and shout. When I leave, I'm gonna be alone out. I'm a hot rod man.
He's a hot rod man.
I'm a hot rod man.
He's a hot rod man.
Look out, little mama, I'm gonna get you if I can. Real close in the dark. Tell you something, baby, you ought to know. The hot rod man don't ever move slow. I'm a hot rod man.
Hot rod man.
I'm a hot rod man.
Hot rod man.
Look out, little mama, gonna get you.
This is Robert Gordon, and you're listening to Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Well, I buy her clothes and I buy her meals when she goes out, wild, wild deal. Just ain't gonna take no more. Gonna find me a gal I can't trust, the one I won't have to buy much. I just ain't gonna take no more. Just ain't gonna take it no more. She gonna wish to goodness she'd been true when she finds out what I'm gonna do. I just ain't gonna make it no more. Just ain't gonna take it no more. I'm gonna make her come to me and beg before I ever move a thing. I just ain't gonna take it no more. She gonna wish to goodness she'd been true when she finds out what I'm gonna do. I just ain't gonna take it.
The new memoir from Stray Cats drummer Slim Jim Phantom, A Stray Cat Strut.
Stray Cat Strut, I'm a
Please cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova, hey,
band.
Read about the highs and lows of being in a rock band that sold millions, plus extraordinary friendships, adventures, and lessons learned along the way.
Slim Jim Phantom,
A Stray Cat Strut. Available August 16th from Thomas Dunn Books. We're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Robert Gordon and the tune Ain't Gonna Take It No More. It's from the album Satisfied Mind, featuring our guest Eddie Angel on guitar. We also heard a track Hot Rod Man by Tex Rabinowitz, an artist that greatly influenced Eddie down a rockabilly path.
We'll talk about several of the other things you've done, but let's talk about Los Straitjackets for a little bit. Tell me about the genesis of how this came together.
Okay, well, yeah, I moved here from upstate New York with a band in 1986, and we were here to get a record deal, and which we did. We got a record deal with CBS Records, and within a year, we recorded it and got dropped, unceremoniously dropped. And so I was sort of at loose ends. I didn't know what to do, you know. But my first instinct was to do an instrumental band. I don't know why, because it was certainly not a smart thing or anything, but... When I first had moved here with this band from New York, I was always doing a few Link Wray songs in the set. I remember one of our earliest shows, it was at the Exit Inn. A guy came up to me at the end of the night and introduced himself as Danny Amos. And he said, man, I never thought I'd hear anyone do a Link Wray song in Nashville. But anyway, so we talked, you know, and he told me he was in the Ray Beats, which that really impressed me because when I was in D.C., I mean, they were like a considered a really big band. So I'd met Danny, and that's funny, that same night I met Jimmy Lesser, who became our drummer, and also Marshall Chapman, who became one of my best friends here in town and one of my biggest supporters through the years, all on that one night at the Exit Inn, you know. So but anyway, when the band broke up, I wanted to do an instrumental band, so I got a hold of Jimmy Lesser and Danny Amos. That was 1988. So we were doing an instrumental band here, and man, my friends thought I was crazy. But we actually managed to do pretty well. You know, we were playing places like the Bluebird and getting a good crowd and the old Ace of Clubs. We managed to do okay. But anyway, Jimmy Lesser he was sort of just on hiatus from Webb Wilder. They were making a record, so now he had to go on tour. So that was sort of the end of that version. That was the Straitjackets. That was late 80s, 89 maybe. So when Jimmy joined Webb Wilder, the Straitjackets thing sort of morphed into the Planet Rockers. I'd met Sonny and Bill and those guys. And that went on for a couple of years and kind of crashed and burned. Then I moved around. I moved to Chicago and I moved to Austin. And finally, I moved back to Nashville in 1994. And I needed a place to stay. And so I asked Danny Amos if I could stay at his house till I got on my feet, and he said sure. And so my wife Melanie and I stayed with Danny. We both got jobs at Phonolux Records. And I said to Danny, I said, why don't we get Jimmy Lesser back over here and play the old songs, you know, the Straitjackets. And so that's where it came from. And then, you know, what I didn't realize, I thought we were just going to do that for fun, you know. When we got back together in 1994, I'm thinking, we already tried that, you know. But Danny Amos, I didn't realize it, but he was sort of at a midlife crisis or something. He wanted to really go do something in the music business. He had a pretty good job at the Nashville Network. So he kind of took the ball and ran with it. You know, he got us to record some songs, and next thing you know, we had a record label that was putting the songs out, and then we had a booking agent, a tour book, and so the whole thing sort of like took on a life of its own, and we never looked back. I mean, it was crazy because I really thought I wasn't thinking it was going to be a successful band or a career. I just thought, well, I'll do this for fun, you know, once a month. Now I'm looking around for a gig, you know, a real gig or something.
We'll be right back.
Itchy Chicken by Los Straitjackets from their debut album, The Utterly Fantastic and Unbelievable Sound of Los Straitjackets.
Now, you've played on Conan several times. I know he's a big fan of you guys.
Yeah, we've been on, I think, at least 10 times. And he's a super cool guy. What you see is what you get. He's super nice. And he's a guitar player. He loves guitar playing. And I remember our first time on there, he was walking around while we were kind of rehearsing and stuff with an early telly on, and he saying, "Man, I'd give this all up if I could play lead guitar in a rockabilly band." But to give you an idea what Conan's like, when, you know, Danny Amos 5 years ago or 6 years ago came down with multiple myeloma type of cancer, and he had to have a stem cell transplant, and he was, really in rough shape. In L.A., they did a benefit for him. I mean, they did one here, too, but... So the one in L.A., Conan and his band put their time in and did it with us. And Conan came, did a song. They're a really cool guy. Yeah.
You mentioned Link Wray. You did a Link tribute record. And you also did some touring with him with Straitjackets.
I think it was 1997 when Link, after a long time, he hadn't toured the States since I can't remember. I don't remember ever touring the States except maybe with Robert Gordon. So in 97, he started touring again, and we got on the bill on a few shows, New York and Philly. And we did one in Minneapolis when Tony Andreessen of the Trashmen came out and set in. So it was me, Tony, and Danny, and Link did Rumble at the end. But that was a real dream come true for me, man, because Link was like my guitar hero, and I didn't even think I'd meet him. And over the years, when, all this stuff, more stuff started coming out on Norton Records and everything, and it was like, holy cow, man, like this guy can do no wrong, it's like, everything he did was cool, I thought, So by 97, it was really cool to meet him and tour with him. He told us we reminded him of the Ventures. But speaking of Link Wray, I had met him when I was 20. When I was 20, I'd moved to California to try to be a songwriter. And the guy I was writing songs with, a piano player, came home from work one day and said, "Hey, I got a gig with this guy, Link Wray," And I said, "Really? Well, get me in the band. I'll be rhythm guitar." I had never even heard of Link Wray. I just thought, what a cool name, man. This guy sounds like a flying saucer or something. So next thing I know, I'm in a garage in North Hollywood, face to face with Link Wray, and we're playing, and it was a complete racket, man. This is 1973, but it sounded like punk rock music. It was total punk rock. And I went to his house a couple times and talked, but nothing came of it. I wound up moving back east before he was putting a band together to tour. He had a record on Polydor called "Be What You Want to Be," and he was trying to promote that. But I moved back before it materialized. But so this was 73 and nothing happened. Then, in 1980, when I was playing with Tex Urbanowicz, all of a sudden, Tex Urbanowicz, like, Link Wray was his favorite guitar player. It was Link Wray and Ivy Rorschach were his two favorite guitar players. And before every show we did, Tex would play a cassette tape of, Link's early stuff, And finally, one day Tex said, "Hey, man, let's work up a few Link Wray instrumentals," And I thought, oh, no, man, that's really corny, that's what I thought. But looking back on it, the reason why I thought it was corny was because I had started out playing instrumentals. My first song was like Walk Don't Run, and Peter Gunn. So I thought, that can't be cool if that's what I started out with doing, But Tex was right on, man. So in a way, Tex Urbanowicz is sort of responsible for me doing instrumentals. In fact, when we started playing the instrumentals with Tex, we would do Rawhide and Run Chicken Run and Jack the Ripper and Baja by the Astronauts. He Never Came Back by the Ventures. That's when I started writing instrumentals. I wrote Rampage, and I put a 45 out called Rampage, and the flip side was Link's Tale, which was a tribute to Link Wray. And because I took to play playing Link Wray like a duck to water, that's what I could do.
That's the tune Lynx Tale by our guest Eddie Angel. That version appears on the album Eddie Angel Plays Link Ray.
Now, of course, you have a long history with Big Sandy. You know, did some projects with him and seen you play in his band in Nashville before, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Big Sandy. We go back a long time, probably 1990. Because the Planet Rockers, our first album was released on an English label called No Hit Records, and Big Sandy's was on that label, and Ronnie Dawson, and the Kaisers. So yeah, so we crossed paths like that originally, but nowadays we share the same booking agent, so that's pretty cool. We'll cross paths like that. But we first did like a 45 with him in like 1996, and we've had him on records, and finally, a few years ago, I don't know how long now, but probably 8 years ago, we did a record called Rock en Español, and all rock and roll songs sung in Spanish, and Big Sandy sang most of it, and it was produced by Caesar from Los Lobos, and he sang on a few of the songs. But now, you know, we go out and tour once in a while with Big Sandy, and it's a lot of fun, man. He's a great singer.
To fashion designs from the golden 50s era of rockabilly. Nobody does it like Tokyo's The King, featuring shirts, shoes, jackets, accessories, and more. And the only place to find a suit and dream flap shoes in collaboration with neo-rockabilly legend Levi Dexter, and a selection of dresses from Bernie Dexter. If you're a fan of Elvis and rockabilly style clothing, check out The King. Go to the-king.jp. This is Jammin' James Riley, and you're tuned to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard the tune Calor, the Spanish version of Slow Down. That's Los Straitjackets with vocals by their friend Big Sandy. Our guest this hour is Eddie Angel.
You've had some great collaborations with other artists and nominated for Grammy 2004 Best Traditional Blues Album, the project you did with Eddie Clearwater, Rock and Roll City. How'd that come about?
That came about through our manager, Jake Guralnick, and the record label, which he used to work for Rounder, I think Eddie Clearwater, I think that record came out on some on a part of Rounder. I think it was affiliated with Rounder, so that's how that came about. But that was really a lot of fun working with Eddie Clearwater, man. It was really cool because we were pretty kindred spirits, you know. It was like getting to work with Chuck Berry, you know. But he's as much Chuck Berry as a blues artist, you know. So it went so smoothly, you know. We recorded right here in Nashville at with George Bradfute at Tone Chaparral, and it sounded great. And but man, were we shocked when we found out it was nominated for a Grammy? Like, wow! But we got to play some cool gigs with Eddie, some blues festivals, and we did the Cognac Blues Festival in France. That was we were treated like visiting royalty, you know. That's pretty cool.
One of my favorites of his is Hillbilly Blues, which you guys do, and I've seen you play that at a set with J.D. McPherson, and seen J.D. jump up on stage and play that one with you too.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the hillbilly blues, they got me going round and round. I got the hillbilly blues, got me going round and round. I'm gonna saddle up my pony, I believe this town. I got the hillbilly blues, I just can't help myself. I got the hillbilly blues, I just can't help myself. I'm gonna buy me a Harley, I believe I'll go out west. I got the hillbilly blues, my baby done put me down. Yes, I got the hillbilly blues, my baby done put me down. I'm gonna buy me a Harley, I believe I ride out of town.
Grammy-nominated album Rock and Roll City, that's Eddie Clearwater and Low Straitjackets, featuring our guest, Eddie Angel.
Now, let's talk about the Planet Rockers. Now, that came out, that started kind of in between the Straight Jackets and Los Straight Jackets. Is that how it was? Is it the time?
Yes. First it was the Straight Jackets, and it kind of, like I said, it morphed into the Planet Rockers. I had met Sonny through Phonolux Records and, you know, Mike Smythe, the owner. I was working at Phonolux Records, and when the band I was in that was signed to CBS Records broke up, I really was kind of ready to go home and quit, you know. But Mike Smythe, the owner of Phonolux, said, "No, man, you should stay," you know. And so he let me work at his record store, and I said, "Well, I got to find some guys to put a band together." And he said, "Well, there's a guy who comes in who's really keen to start a band," and it was Sonny. So Sonny and I started getting together, and Mike was letting us listen to his records, which he's got like a world-class record collection, and we started learning songs from his record collection, and that became the whole Planet Rocker repertoire, really, was from Mike's record collection. But then we had met Bill Swartz, the drummer. I had met him from the Straitjackets. He would fill in sometimes for Jimmy Lester, and so I knew him. But we needed an upright bass player, and like in Nashville in 1989, I think, you were trying to find a rockabilly bass player in Nashville. You were out of luck, man. You're trying to find a rockabilly anything. In fact, I remember when I showed up here with a quiff ducktail, I mean, and playing guitar like Scotty Moore, they thought I invented it. I said, "You folks invented it, man. I just came from upstate New York." But so anyway, I met Mark Winchester just by accident one day. I was on a video shoot for a girl named Becky Hobbs. Do you remember that name? She was a piano player. She was a singer, and this is one of these things you used to get being on a, I guess they're looking for like rockabilly looking people, I don't know. But anyway, I met Mark, and so then we had the band, you know. Mark had just moved here from North Carolina, and he wanted to be a songwriter, but he was a big, you know, total rockabilly guy, sort of, you know, into the Stray Cats and stuff. So we had the band, you know, and we started playing around in like 1990, and it was a great band, really. And we're still playing. You know, we took, I don't know how many years we didn't play together because, you know, well, we started playing, and we were getting a good reputation around town, good draw. We were packing out clubs, and we went to England and did a show over there. We got hooked up through, like I said, we're on that English label, and through all that, Morrissey heard one of our songs and invited us to go on tour with him as an opening band. And this would have been 1992, I think. So we did that, and that was quite an adventure, going on tour with him. But like most bands, it crashed and burned, you know?
White lightning was his load. Moonshine, moonshine, quench the devil's thirst.
Thunder Road Rock, that's the Planet Rockers featuring our guest, Eddie Angel. We're talking about getting back together and recording a new project.
But now we're back, and we just put a new record out on a German label called Return of the Planet Rockers. And rockabilly festivals really around the world want us to play, you know, the headline.
And you recorded that at Phillips Recording Studio in Memphis, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that was really a lot of fun. Sonny is good friends with Jerry Phillips, Sam Phillips' son. And, I mean, Jerry just thinks the world of Sonny. And so one of them suggested, why don't we go down there and record at Phillips Studio? And it was really a gas being there, man, because the place is like walking into Tutankhamun's tomb or something. Nothing's changed. It looks like 1960 when you walk in, you know. And we were hanging out in Sam's office and sitting at his bar, private bar, the bar that Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash would have been coming into. And so it was great, man. And Sonny, he slept on the floor of the studio every night in front of a big picture of Sam Phillips.
If people haven't been there, Phillips Recording Studio is just really down the street, around the corner from Sun Studio there on Union.
Well, you get off work at quitting time, you head home shaving sharp. Then you start rushing around in the run. You only got a half an hour to slick your hair back and put your cat clothes on. But everything's gonna be alright for the Saturday night. You call an old buddy on the telephone, the road by pick you up. Along about 7, you hear him a-coming, rocking down the road in a pickup truck. And when you look good, oh baby, you feel good. Everything's gonna be alright for the Saturday night. Looking good, ain't no doubt, with your head hanging out the window, but you're about to let it all hang out. And when you feel good, woo, baby, you look good. Everything's gonna be all right, 'cause it's Saturday night.
Hey, it's Jammin' James Riley, and if you're looking for more great shows with great music and interviews, then check out our other show, Catching a Wave. It's the sounds of summer, surf, and good time rock and roll. It's summer all year long on Catching a Wave. You'll hear artists like the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, guitar legend Dick Dale, Los Straitjackets, The Atlantics, The Trash Men, The Safaris, The Explorers Club, The Monkees, and so much more. Plus, we'll have games, contests, polls, interviews, and a whole lot of fun. For more information, go to catchingawaveradio.com. That's catchingawaveradio.com. Oh, and bring some sunscreen. Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, early country, early rock and roll, and Ameripolitan music. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Saturday Night in Oak Grove, Louisiana, from the album Return of the Planet Rockers. Guitarist Eddie Angel is our guest this hour.
You played on a couple Ronnie Dawson projects. I tell you, unfortunately, he passed away. Just what an amazing talent. But man, he always seemed like he was just ready to rock, like a rocket just jumping out there.
Yeah. Ronnie was great, man. And like I said, I met him again through that English label. We were all on No Hit Records. And the first time the Planet Rockers went and played in London, it was on a big sort of a festival with Ronnie. And that's when we first met. And we just hit it off, and I wound up, you know, recording with him, and we used to record in this studio over in London called Toe Rag Studios, and The White Stripes later recorded there and made it really big and famous. But Ronnie was great, man. He was an inspiration. And I and my wife Melanie in the early 90s would booked a few tours with Be Ronnie and the Planet Rockers. And man, so I went on the road with Ronnie a few times, and he was great, man. He was just, he had so much energy, and he seemed like so much older, you know. He was probably 55, you know. But you know how that is. But he, when we would stop at a rest stop, he would go out and start jogging around the van. You know, he had all this energy, man.
That's and, hilarious.
Yeah. But every night, man, I watched him. He would always put on a great show, and always 100%, man. Oh, more than 110%. It was, that's always stuck with me.
The album Just Rockin' and Rollin', that's Ronnie Dawson, featuring our guest, Eddie Angel, on guitar.
Read so many great reviews of the tour you did last fall, last Christmas, with Nick Lowe and Cactus Blossoms. Cactus Blossoms get a lot of attention now, too, and they were raving about you guys as well. But how did that whole thing happen for you?
Again, that came through our manager, Jake Gralnick. Jake manages us and Nick Lowe. We're also both on the same record label, Yep Rock Records. Nick is on, and we are. So a few years ago, we had met at a Yep Rock anniversary party where we all played, and we backed up Nick for a song or two. And actually, Nick had been on, we had, back in 2001, we had a record called Sing Along with Low Straight Jackets, where we had guest singers, and Nick was one of the guests. He didn't sing, but he played an instrumental he had written. So there was a little bit of, that was a connection, you know. And but of course, we were all Nick Lowe fans, you know. So it was a real treat for us to get to do it. And now we've done it twice, and now we're doing it again this year. But this year we're going to do it in Europe, mostly Spain, and there's one date in London. You know, Nick Lowe had some reservations about doing a Christmas record and a Christmas tour. He thought, man, this might be a little too corny, you know. But I think it's really been fun for him, and we've allowed him to play his rock and roll songs that he had, I think he felt like he had outgrown or something, you know. But we brought out the kid in him again because we're up there in wrestling mass. You know, kind of you're inoculated against me. And you're already a kid. You're already doing something goofy, you know. So I think it's really fun for him. He doesn't have to be all serious songwriter guy, you know, all the time, you know. But and it's been really fun for us working with him and watching just how he works, man, and how what a pro he is, you know, up close seeing that. It's really cool.
Shake That Rat, the Los Straitjackets, also featuring Nick Lowe.
Do you have a rockabilly request you'd like to hear from just anything? If you were to take over the show for a little bit, anything you'd like to hear?
Move Around by Groovy Joe Puvia. I think that's about all-time great rockabilly record.
Oh, that sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
Well, baby, in your window put a light, cause that old sun done gone out of sight. And when the sun goes down, 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 I gotta move around, move around, move around. Now we'll go down to where the gang hangs out. And we let these loafer shoes just jump a foul. But when the sun goes down, 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 I gotta move around, move around, move around. I move around. Yeah, move around, baby. Gotta move around after that old sun goes down. When the sun goes down, 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 I gotta move around, move around, move around, move around. Let's move around now. I'll drop a nickel in that old machine. Bob like all the other teams. But when the sun goes down, 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 I gotta move around, move around, move around. The old folks think that we are doing wrong. But when they were young, they had their dancing song. And when the sun went down, 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 they had to move around, move around, move around. Baby, in your
life. Cause that old sun has done gone out of sight. And when the sun goes down, 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 I gotta move around. Move around, move around, I move around. Yeah, move around, baby. Yeah, move around.
Let's Move Around by Groovy Joe Poovy from 1957 by request for our guest, Eddie Angel. Big thanks to Eddie for taking the time to talk about so many projects he's been a part of. Now, if you're online, our website is rockabillyandblues.com. It's rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com. Stay tuned for more great music and interviews. As always, it's Jam and James Riley saying keep on rockin'.